Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord for that. If that doesn't invoke singing and dancing, I'm hoping today's sermon will do just that for you as well. So, good morning to all. We rejoice in the hope of Christ as we approach Christmas this week. And we continue in our Advent series, and today's focus, as we heard, is on the love of God and our final hope in the return of Christ. And Christmas Day is only 4 days away. And for the kids in the room, it cannot come soon enough. But for others, we may wish to postpone for a few more weeks so we can accomplish all that we desire before waking up on Christmas morning. As believers, you and I are waiting not just for the advent of his first coming that we celebrate each Christmas, but we can't wait for his second coming when all things will be made right. We desire the sin, disease, death, and destruction to end as a result of the fall we know began with Adam and Eve. How are we to live in anticipation of that day? Like the child waiting for Christmas morning to arrive, we will become impatient. If we desire to look at this through God's viewpoint, we will realize our need for patience to endure, just as we endure suffering for the sake of Christ. And 1 Peter 4 tells us, we are not to be surprised by trials that come to test us, but to rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. As Christians, we will suffer persecutions and ridicule with people asking, where is God in all this? We are to be witnesses to this hope that is in us. As people see us different from the world, and we are to proclaim a message of repentance and faith before Christ returns. And as we heard last week from Pastor Jairo, we are to wait with joy for our blessed hope. As we read our text, we will see God's patience for us in his divine love and the promise for his return in how we are to live as his followers. And we will also look to the eternal love of God through dwelling with us in renewed perfection in the return of Christ. So let us open our Bibles to the text, and we'll begin with 2 Peter 3, 8 through 13. And Peter tells us this, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your steadfast love which endures forever. We remember the great love with which you loved us in sending your Son to give us life. We ask for your Holy Spirit to attend and enlighten us in and through the preaching of your word. Give us patience, hope, and a desire to live a life honoring to you until you call us home or you return. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text, Peter reminds us that God's time is different from our concept of time. Our God is eternal, and he has no beginning or end, as he is the beginning and the end. And he says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And let me remind you, believers, God is outside of time. He created it. So to God, a day is no different than 1,000 years because of his eternality. During this time in history, when Peter was writing this, the scoffers would have been ridiculing these Christians. And in verse 4 of chapter 3, we read, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. So Peter is reminding believers that God is patient, and we should be of the same mind. And God's patience in bringing about the end of days, indicating his mercy and grace. We are to be patient and wait for God's time. What we might think might take 1,000 years in our mind may take just one day for God. And what we might think should take a day may take 1,000 years, as his ways are far above ours. And verse 9 further talks of God's timing and patience, as he is not slow, but is patient. The reason for Christ's seeming delay in returning for his people is his great compassion and patience. We all live in a world where we want everything right now, and we are impatient and complaining about slowness. And we've all seen that as we've been in line at the store. But Christ's delay in coming is not slowness as we count it in this world. This is directly related to our mission to go and proclaim the gospel and make disciples. There are many who need to be saved. And we remember in Matthew 24:13, it states, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And what does he say? And then the end will come. God is patient in waiting for those who by his Spirit and word are to reach a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And Paul asks in Romans 2:4, do we show contempt for the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God does not wish any to perish. We remember his kindness, patience, and forbearance by which he saved us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As we read in Ezekiel 18:32, God says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord, So turn and live. God has this patience for the opportunity to repent and live. And we have a responsibility to heed the drawing from the Father, as no one can come to Christ unless drawn by God, according to John 6:44. God's patience means that not one of his people he has chosen to be saved will be left behind. Amen. And Peter is not saying all will be saved, but the Lord is patient. And he is the only one who knows the day or the hour when he will come. What we have as believers is his word, giving us signs of the end of the age. And this should therefore encourage us to continue meeting together and sharing his word as we can see the day drawing near by these signs. Those who are in the world and do not know Christ seek safety and guarantees in possessions and control. They want the world to be safer through laws and government. But Jesus wants our soul. He wants our soul to be ready and for our fear to be in him over man. Jesus calls for repentance, faith, watchfulness, obedience, a heart that can meet God without hiding. As we heard this morning, he wants our whole heart. And our greatest danger is not what the world can do to the body, but it is standing before God, having heard the truth and ignored it. I'm going to repeat that again. Our greatest danger is not what the world can do to us, but it is standing before God, having heard the truth and ignored it. Life is fast, and we are but a vapor. Death comes sure, judgment follows, and Christ stands ready to save. We are to call upon the name of the Lord today. To heed this call is man's responsibility. He later says to count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our brother Paul has written. Are we thankful for the patience he has shown us in our own salvation? Is there anyone here who has not accepted Christ? Now is the time, because his patience in mercy is a warning before he tells us in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Brothers and sisters, this is the end of history and time on earth as we know it. This is the coming judgment of the whole world when all things will be made right. The enmity, strife, and hatred will end, and we will have a new heaven and earth in which righteousness dwells. When this day comes, the opportunity for repentance is gone. The day is coming in which Jesus will return, and according to 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All opposition to God will be an eternal punishment. His people will be vindicated and restored to perfection. And this is a sober warning and one we much preach to the world. And there is no purgatory or second chances. And we remember that there will be people who have done works in his name, yet will hear the words, "I never knew you." Are we obeying the gospel? And then Peter tells us how we are to live in light of this truth in verse 11 and 12. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? This is going to happen. And how are we supposed to live? It says, in lives of holiness and godliness, we are to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we will remain steadfast and not carried away by unsound doctrine, that we will persevere in suffering trials ordained by our Lord. And this is the same message we heard last week in Titus chapter 2, where it says to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We are to renounce sin. This temporary nature of the world is decaying in sin, and this world and all its possessions will fade away. But his word remains forever. We must not become attached to the world and be drawn away, as we know the love of many will grow cold. And we are to strive for peace and holiness, according to Hebrews chapter 12, says, without which no one will see the Lord. This striving, it requires our action. Godliness, which is our life aligned with God's purpose and will in our lives, to live in light of his coming so that we may be found ready with oil in our lamps when he returns. And Mark chapter 13 tells us why we must be ready, as he will come at an hour when we do not expect. We are to be on guard and keep awake, for you do not know the time when he will come. When we feel impatient against the godlessness of the world, we are to be waiting and working on pursuit of holiness, growing in the grace and knowledge of his truth and doing his will in our lives, to persevere to the end, whenever that may be. This is this striving for peace and holiness that we are to do in obedience. And our primary reason for doing good and living right should not be out of religious obligation. It should be our response of love and gratitude towards God, his undeserved love shown to us through Jesus Christ, who died for us. In 2 Peter, verse 14, Peter says it again. He says, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these new heavens and earth, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And the word for spot is described as being unstained from the world. Every day we wake up and start our day, we pursue the battle against sin and the forces of evil. And diligently we put on the full armor of God. We must live like he will return at any moment, living in this peace which passes all understanding. Diligent and striving. And we are to be found without blemish, blameless, covered by the righteousness of Christ, to put on the breastplate of righteousness as we are to shine our light to the world and spread the gospel. Every day is another day to witness for our Lord and Savior. This is the great love he has poured into us by his Spirit, and he is our spotless, perfect sacrifice for us. Are we ready? In this hastening of the day, means to earnestly desire. It is for us to always be pushing for it. We are to be so eager or desiring for the coming of Christ that everything we do is a part of wanting it to come and to share the gospel. Is this how we live our lives? Do we have such desire? We can have confidence in the work of the Lord that we are called to do in obedience to his word. And our labor is not in vain, but it is for the day when he will return. This is the kingdom work with which we are called, and we should be eager to preach this message of repentance and hope in Christ alone. Is this our earnest desire as followers of Christ? Our lives should be preaching the gospel. We should also live in this eager desire in pursuit of holiness. And Jonathan Edwards, he wrote in his memoirs on resolutions, he resolved, he says, never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expect it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. We are to live in hastening the day by pursuit of holiness, always prepared for action, and in step with the Holy Spirit now and when he returns. Is our name written in the book of life? The only way we will stand in that day and not be eternally separated in torment is to be found in Christ Jesus, to repent and believe and to call upon his name. Today is the day of salvation. And those of you who do not know Christ as your Savior, I pray his Spirit would move you to repentance and faith. And he finishes his exhortation by a reminder in verse 13. He says, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the place where we long to dwell forever with God. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. What more could we ask for? To dwell in the righteousness of God forever. Amen? This great love is why we live and serve our Master. And we love because he first loved us. We heard that in our reading this morning. And we as believers are waiting for that day. And he states this is according to his promise. This will happen, to dwell with God in a new heaven and a new earth. What an encouragement to our waiting. And this brings us now to our second passage. In Revelation chapter 1, whose theme is the ultimate revelation and victory of Jesus Christ and the culmination of history in his return. We look forward to the eternal love of God in dwelling with us in renewed perfection with the return of Christ. And praise God that we know the end and our victory in Christ. Amen. So let us look at his word in Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is a familiar passage to all believers as we hope for this day to come, and especially those who have gray hair and who have been through many trials. Amen. This book, written by John, gives us the assurance of future hope and promise as the final blow to destroy sin and death and make all things new. And previously in Revelation chapter 20, we see the description of judgment of all before the throne. And in verse 13 and 14, it says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. And in verse 15 it says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Eternal hell and judgment is real, and God will not save everyone. And this is why we are to work diligently for the sake of the gospel. Once we die, then comes judgment. And when Christ returns in his second coming, eternal separation and torment in the lake of fire will be for those who are not found in Christ. Every knee will bow. Will we bow now or in eternity? And following this judgment will come the new heaven and the new earth, as the firsts have passed away and the sea is no more. And the sea had often been looked upon as a barrier to the nations, but now we will be together in complete unity. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. described as a bride adorned for her husband, just as Christ describes his church. God, our Creator, is making a new creation where he will dwell with his people for eternity. This new Jerusalem is a picture of the church brought together on the day of the Lord. God, who created us in his image and looks upon us in righteousness in Christ, is coming to dwell with his people. And as love came down in his first coming, our Emmanuel, his infinite love will come to dwell with us forever. And as stated by Eugene Peterson, the sin-ruined creation of Genesis is restored in the sacrifice-renewed creation of Revelation and the final victory in Christ. Amen. And just as in the beginning before the fall of man, God will come to dwell in perfect harmony. And in verse 3 we read, he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is something that we have heard from God throughout the Bible. God comes to dwell with his people in the fullest way possible, like a groom coming to be with his wife to take her to himself forever. We could not get more intimate love, brothers and sisters. And in Leviticus 26:12, we see the promise as God said, and I will walk with you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. And this is first expressed as a blessing for obedience. This is God's final expression of love to those who have followed Christ in obedience and have obtained the crown of righteousness. And our walk in holiness and godliness should be driven by this promise from our Creator. And we see this same promise in Exodus chapter 6 in delivering his people out of slavery. Jeremiah chapter 31 in the promise of the new covenant. And in Ezekiel chapter 1 in the promise of the Holy Spirit. We also see the God who comforts his people. What a blessing. In verses 4 and 5, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. The beauty and wonder of the God who comes to comfort his people after long suffering. The God of comfort has come, our blessed hope. Every burden we have carried, every tear shed, every fear that has gripped us, every worry about the future taken away. Praise the Lord, there will be no need for doctors or hospitals. Amen. And this passage draws from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, where he writes, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What a celebration. And this is our time of rejoicing in the salvation from our King. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. This is the word of the Lord from the throne. His word will never pass away. And he states, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is to reassure us in light of our suffering as followers of Christ. The great I am will do it. Just as he spoke the world into existence in Genesis, if we thought creation was beyond comprehension, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. And in the second half of verse 5, God confirms this as he tells John, "Write this down, because these words are trustworthy and true. Our God is a God who keeps his promises and never fails." And you can count this as trustworthy and true, just as we heard from Peter. This is a promise. Think about what God is telling us. There is a day coming when every single promise of God will be fulfilled, and all his redemptive plans will be finished. Currently, we live day by day in light of God's word and his promises, promises that have been fulfilled, and those that have not yet been completed. In our forever home, we will live in eternity in which every promise has been fulfilled, and we will dwell with God. We will worship and glorify our Lord forever, the one who completes every purpose and plan for his people. Our lives should be fueled by the vision we have of what is to come, as well as inspired by the one who is coming again. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We are made new already, but we live in a fallen world, and we need his spirit to sustain us. And Paul later tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We have his spirit living in us, dwelling with us now. As we look to the birth of Christ at Christmas, we remember his first coming and the great love he bestowed upon us to make a way to return to perfection. We hope for his return, and we remain patient in the tribulations of this life, knowing that they are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us on that day. As we approach Christmas, in the anticipation of celebration with family and friends, let us remember the love which came down to save us. Born of a virgin and began in a lowly manger, lived a perfect life, suffered and died for us. He was raised to life and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And he will come again one day. And we praise him that he is a patient God and shows us abundant mercy and grace. As a result, we hasten the day he will come, while doing his will in and through our lives in gospel mission. He is coming again. It is a guarantee. The vision we see of his return and the promises in his word should cause us to live now for him, in lives changed by his nature and pursuit of holiness and godliness, and not in compromise, apathy, and conformity to this fading world filled with sin. We are to hunger and thirst for righteousness in anticipation of the day we will be with Him in a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God's love never ends, and His final promise is to live with His people forever. And it should also cause us to rejoice in that death will not be victorious over us. It is the entrance into God's presence, if we are found in Christ, where we will worship Him forever. This will result in one day, when Christ returns, the full restoration of His creation in our renewed bodies, dwelling with God Himself, with His love eternal, in a new heaven and a new earth, with the former things forever having passed away. What a glorious day that will be. Christ is our hope, our peace, our joy, our one true love, and longs to be with His people. May we as believers be found alert and ready for His coming as we hasten the day and do His work here on earth. Amen. Let us go to Him in prayer. King Jesus, we glorify and magnify Your name. We are thankful for Your promises, which are faithful and true, and we wait with eager expectation for Your second coming. We ask for Your Spirit to sustain us and strengthen us in Your truth, to be able to live a life in pursuit of holiness and to be obedient servants of Your will for our lives. Help us to be faithful to the end and to spread Your gospel to a world in decay. Help us to spread Your love to others and demonstrate this through all we say and do. Thank You for Your word that will never pass away and that we will dwell with You forever. We long for the day when Revelation 21 will be sight. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.